Providing Aboriginal children with bilingual education has and continues to arm these children with the tools for success in later life. The launch of the Northern Territory Bilingual Education Program in 1972 has seen the Territory lead the way for bilingual education in their schools. To discuss the need for bilingual education for Aboriginal children, we're joined by Dr. Samantha Disbray, Research Fellow at the Centre of Excellence with the Dynamics of Languages at ANU. Samantha, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Adrian.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, what are some of the main benefits associated with bilingual education?
Well, as you know, as in the title of the program, it's learning in two languages, the bilingual. So, you know, children can go to school in their first language before they're competent in English and learn all of the concepts and the school habits and be maintaining their own language, developing their own first language as small children, and then over the course of time becoming stronger and stronger in English through a structured second language program. So one of the main benefits is becoming a strong bilingual just in and of itself. That's a beneficial thing, but it's a lot of school success factors because children can enter school and learn in their own language. So that's some of the key basic benefits. And then, of course, there are things like the benefits of having your community members as your role models and teachers in your school and having leadership roles. So that has wider benefits for, you know, attendance at school. There are numerous.
Right. What languages are the kids actually learning?
Okay, so currently in the Northern Territory, there are bilingual programs in various Yolngu languages, so up in the top end in Yirrkala, Milangimbi, Elko Island. And then down in the centre, Pindyara is one of the languages taught at Arionga, a bilingual program just south of Alice Springs. Out in the west, in the Walbury communities, they're still pursuing bilingual education. So there are a number of languages. I mean, in Australia, there are relatively few Aboriginal languages that are still acquired by children, and most of those are in the Northern Territory. And so a program like the bilingual program is really going a long way to help secure the future of those languages.
Are the kids being taught formally their own languages?
Yeah, so, well, yes, they are. So if you think about the way that, you know, English-speaking kids in mainstream schools in the cities, you know, they're learning English language right through their school lives. I mean, we don't often think about it explicitly because we don't necessarily teach grammar, but, you know, you think about the language development pathway from the time a kid's five to the time they're, say, coming out of year 12, they've done a lot of English language learning. That happens in schools, you know, learning vocabulary for particular subject areas and learning to, you know, present complex ideas and so on in language, and also reading and writing. And so if a bilingual program in a remote school is going well, kids are doing the same in their first language throughout their school life. They're learning deeper and stronger and more complex language. So, yeah, they do get formal instruction in their language.
Okay.
So all the content, of course.
Yeah. So the teachers are actually fluent in the first language as well. Is that right?
So the way that works is that most non-Aboriginal teachers don't speak an Aboriginal language.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher of first language is a first language speaker. So it's an Aboriginal teacher. So, of course, they bring not only their language skill to their teaching task, but their knowledge of the community, their knowledge of the kids, and their knowledge of their cultural heritage and their scientific knowledge, you know, Indigenous ecological knowledge. So we do have we've always had challenges having qualified Aboriginal teachers, and that remains a challenge. But in the bilingual program, one of the ways to counter that was to develop a program of team teaching where, you know, non-Aboriginal visiting teachers who are not local to the community need the support of Aboriginal teachers in a whole range of ways. And Aboriginal teachers as well need the support of their team teacher. And so, yeah, that was how the sort of the challenge of having enough skilled people to do the various aspects of this teaching task was achieved.
Mm. So the kids, they might get to be a little bit cheeky and call the teacher, something in their first language.
Well, they might, and really, you don't want to understand when kids are being naughty. It's best just to, you know, to have good classroom management strategies that don't enter into, you know, some of the silly business. And, you know, kids are doing that on their mobile phones and all sorts in classrooms all over the place. So it's good, you know, we try and focus on the positives. But, yeah, I mean, There was a bit of a tradition, and in some communities more than others, of non-Aboriginal teachers learning language.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, as part of a genuine two-way approach. You know, if Aboriginal teachers are coming to school and speaking English 100% of the time, that's not really a 50-50, you know, path. And so there has been, in a lot of places, there would be structured adult learning programs for visiting teachers to learn languages, but that wasn't widespread all over the place. And, you know, bilingual programs been a little bit controversial, and so some of those expectations and ethoses have shifted, and so we find that there are fewer non-Aboriginal teachers learning language, which is a shame, because it would give them a really important insight, understanding what it's like to learn a second language, because that's the position that the kids in these schools are in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you've never learned a language, you have a little insight into that process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, on that, do you think it's something that should be spread sort of across the nation, that all schools should be, no matter where they are, no matter the students themselves, do you think they all should be learning, particularly the local language? Yeah.
Well, and we've got movements for that to happen, and certainly, I mean, you know, I'm bilingual myself, I'm interested in languages, it's my career, so I'm a bit biased on this question, but certainly there's a lot of research that shows general cognitive benefits for, you know, being a second language speaker, learning a new language, and they're the benefits that are obvious, that you can communicate with people in that other language, but then on a sort of more abstract cognitive level, they improve people's memory, pattern recognition, general cognitive, you know, benefits from learning a second language, and even there's research on, you know, people in older age, that if you're a second language speaker, you tend to suffer dementia type symptoms later.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot of benefits around speaking a second language. So, you know, it's a good thing. And in Australia, we've got the new Australian curriculum and the framework for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages, which is the first national curriculum that we've had for Indigenous languages. And so there is a push. There are local pushes. You know, we've had a long history now of 20, 30 years of language revitalisation programs in those communities where languages cease to be spoken. And so you're seeing a lot of places, the local language being taught. And that's important for a whole range of, you know, reasons for different audiences, from, you know, recognition of cultural heritage right through to understanding your local community. So, yeah, we are seeing increases in those areas. And I think the sort of benefits that people are talking about are really positive.
Yeah, it's something I certainly would have, looking back on my schooling, I would have loved to have learnt another language, particularly an Indigenous language local to the area. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
Absolute pleasure.